Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Gloria, there we go. What are you excited about? Just shout out some stuff you're excited about this Christmas. Food, presents, Santa's not real. Oh, whoa. Doctor Who. Did somebody say Doctor Who? Who said Doctor Who? Raise your hand. There you go. Beth said Doctor Who. What else are you excited about? Jan, what are you excited about? Walks in the park. Oh, no, that's a good one. It's good. One more thing. Come on, one more thing. You're excited about Liverpool being top of the Premier League at the moment? Yes, you are. Who's excited about Liverpool? Come on. I supported them when I moved to Liverpool, so a shame. But I'm excited. The thing that excites me most about Christmas is carols. I love carols. Who thought the carol concert a couple of weeks ago was the best we've ever done? Love carols. I love carols. That goes back to a great childhood experience. When I was in Devon, I grew up in Devon in the Shire. And we used to go carol singing every year, like all the different youth groups would get together. And because like in each village, there's probably only about 5 houses and a couple of farms. What we do is we'd all get in different cars and we'd each go, we'd do like a sort of a safari carol kind of thing. And we go to a village and we'd one car at one end of the village, one car at the other end of the village, which is approximately 100 yards apart. And and we'd sing our way down into the village and knocking on all the doors, going up all the farm paths. And then we'd do this and then we'd go to the next village and the next village and the next village, caroling, 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 bring Christmas cheer. And then we'd go back to the pub where we started and we'd have, like the landlady would lay on mince pies, warm mince pies with clotted cream, copious amounts of clotted cream. And it was an amazing experience. And so I love singing carols. And you know, this morning I want to talk to you about singing, which is funny because I'm speaking and I'm not singing and I feel a bit awkward because I don't have a guitar in front of me. But the thing is, music is what, somebody said this, that music takes words where mere words on their own could not go. Music takes words where mere words on their own could not go. There is something when we sing, when we unite together in a voice and we lift up a song about Jesus, something happens. I don't know what it is. It's a bit mystical. It's a bit wondrous. And at Christmas, even if you don't know what you're singing about, when you sing a carol, you feel amazing. There's something uplifting about a carol that's just absolutely amazing. And when we sing about Jesus, that's what happens. Something lifts within us. And God's designed the whole universe to sing, from the galaxies that swirl to the atoms within you that vibrate under a microscope. Everything makes a noise. Everything sings to God. And we just join in. And the Bible says that if we don't sing, the very rocks themselves will cry out. And it says, you know, in Psalms that the trees and the fields, they'll go out with joy and they'll clap their hands. Which is not Lord of the Rings, it's some kind of metaphor. But, you know, creation is made to sing. Psalm 96 verse 1 says this, it says, sing a new song to the Lord. It says, sing a new song to the Lord. God loves it when we sing a new song. And I thought this morning that I'd just spend a bit of time with you, giving you a few ways that you can sing a new song this Christmas. And I believe this morning that God has a new song. Every morning when you wake up, God has a song. Zephaniah 3:17 says he actually sings over you. He rejoices over you. So when you sing, God's singing with you. And I believe that God has a new song for us this Christmas. So the title of this Christmas message, because you're all taking notes, is the hidden carol. Oh, there you go. Let's do that again. The hidden carol. Oh. This year, I mean, I'll share a bit of my journey this year and why the passage I'm about to read is really powerful. Not only for me, but I believe what we're about to share. But this year, God's been taking me on a journey. And it's led me to this passage. It's been the whole year I've been on this journey, and I'll continue to be on this journey. But I've spent about 3 months in this passage. And I kind of thought, well, okay, what am I going to preach on? And I was like, well, I better find something in this passage. But the birth of Jesus is actually right in the middle of this passage, coincidentally. And so I started to do some research around the outside and I discovered that this passage actually contains the oldest song in the New Testament. In fact, it is structured as a hymn, poetically. Dave Wilcox suddenly pricked his ears up. He loves this kind of stuff. This is an ancient a song that was sung by the new church. So actually what it is, it's a carol about Jesus' birth, his life. But I studied history at university. Who studied history? I'm on my... No, we've got two. So everybody's a geek. Dave Stoner loves superheroes. I love history. So you've got to just bear with me just for a second. See the little skip? So I love the history of this. This carol's found hidden in the middle of one of Paul's letters. So you can guess where this is. This letter was written while Paul was in jail. He wrote it to one of the first church plants that he ever did, so really close to his heart. And some scholars have dated this particular passage we're about to read to within 10 years of Jesus' life. They've dated this to within 10 years of Jesus' life. So this is like really close to Jesus. The author's unknown, but it's structured to be repeated and passed on like an evangelical tool, sort of like you'd sing this and then you pass it on. It was part of the oral tradition. And it contains the essence of the early sort of Christian doctrine, and it just encapsulates it all. So as we read it, I believe that as we come back to the start of what the early church was singing at Christmas, that God's going to give us a new song and something exciting. So do take notes, because you might end up writing a really good worship song at the end of this. Who's up for looking at the passage? Philippians 2, 6 to 11. In some of your Bibles, it might actually be written in like a hymn-type format, so it kind of jumps off the page. It says this, verse 6, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Everybody say cling. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, everybody say, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the church said, amen. I'm going to read it again. I'm not going to sing it. I did think about getting Mo to rap it. But he was otherwise engaged. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He didn't grasp at it. Instead, he just gave it up. He let go of his divine privileges. All the rights he had as being the Son of God, he laid them down. He took a humble position, a position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. God was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And this is the crescendo. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. He gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's good, isn't it? It's good. You can imagine them just singing that and lifting to that. You know, the first thing we need to do, or the first thing that will help us to sing a new song this Christmas, is we need to let go. Jesus' gift to us was letting go of heaven for us. Verse 5, you know, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to be grasped, something to cling to, but instead he gave it up. He let it go. Who's bought their Radio Times? Yeah, I love the Radio Times. It's a bit of a tradition in our family. When the Radio Times appears, everybody gets a different color pen and goes to the Radio Times and looks through the Radio Times and says, right, I'm watching that. And then it's pulled off by my sister, who's like, well, I'm watching that. And we've all got all these circles all over it. And my dad, his first thing he goes to is the Queen's Speech. Who's Queen's Speech? Yeah, everybody loves the Queen's Speech. He usually leaves like Christmas dinner early to go spend time with the Queen. My mum, Downton Abbey, no biggie. Catherine, my sister, Mary Poppins, always on Mary Poppins. And everybody's going to watch Mary Poppins now because of the Banks film, aren't they? Sound of Music, she always puts that on there as well. And generally anything else in that vein of singing and dancing. For me, it's the Boxing Day football. Get that ringed in there. That's my slot. And then this year and the last couple of years, who's been looking forward to Sherlock? The next thing is Sherlock, absolutely. But hey, what happens if there's an overlap? What happens, you know, when I get there to circle it, like a channel 1 and then channel 3, my sister's got something, and then, well, there has been many, many bloodshed in my house over the Radio Times at Christmas. I don't know if you're like me, but I find it hard to let go. I find it hard to give up something that I really look forward to and that I want. And I was just thinking, well, why is this? Why do I find it so hard to give something up? You know, first of all, it's our nature, isn't it? You know, you don't have to You have to teach people to share stuff. You don't have to teach them to take stuff, do you? When the biscuit tin gets out at Christmas, everybody's going through for the ones that they want. And, oh, no, or like with the selection box, everybody's taking the toffee. Who loves toffee? I love the toffee. But if you get there, there's no toffee left. Oh, it's a nightmare. So we don't have to be taught to give. We have to be taught to share stuff, not take stuff. So it's part of our nature. But I reckon the main reason why we find it hard sometimes to sort of let go and give up stuff is because our culture surrounds us. Indoctrinating us to consume stuff. Here's some facts. This is for Roger. if you stand in Times Square and you rotate 360 degrees, in 1 minute you'll see 25 adverts. That's 500 in 20 minutes. That's 1,500 adverts in an hour. You'll also probably be quite dizzy. they say that on an average day, we will see between 3,000 and 20,000 adverts telling us to buy stuff, buy stuff, buy stuff. So maybe you're like me when you find it hard because you're constantly surrounded by stuff that's telling you to grab and take. And you know, even Christmas lists, it's all about what do you want? I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And if I don't get this, then I cry and I'm not happy. And maybe that's just me. So I love this passage because it talks about the mystery of generosity, is that it really is better to let go of stuff. You know, because the end of the passage is, therefore, God was elevated. Therefore, Jesus was elevated. So there is it is better to give than receive. I remember one of the hardest things for me to let go was my 18th birthday present, which was my electric guitar. And I remember being in church and God just saying, oh, you need to give your guitar away. Because I'd not played it for about 4 years. So it's like, if you haven't worn something for a year, you really should give it to a charity shop. I'd not played my guitar for 4 years. And I was hanging on to the dream that one day I'd be a rock star. Who's still got that dream, Cy Howes? Who's still got that dream? But I had this thing that I was going to one day be an amazing worship leader, and my guitar it was all linked to this guitar. And then I just remember God saying, you need to give it away. So I gave it away to Simon Blois, who's one of the guitarists in Sheffield. And the really rotten thing, it's very English, thing was... As I went up to him, and I was in tears, letting go of my dreams, this guitar. And I said, Cy, God's told me to give you this guitar. And he's like, I don't need it, I've got four. I was like... You still got to have it. Take it. And you see, the thing is, when you let go of something, it's not so much about what you're letting go of. It's about what it's doing in you. It's not about what you're letting go of. It's about what's happening in you when you let go. That process. That's God's always after your heart. God's heart is that our song would be a song of freedom, not one that we're clinging to and grasping. That we find joy this Christmas in letting go. Is that good? So maybe just write down, I need to let go of something. What do I need to let go of? The next thing that will help us to sing a new song this Christmas is reaching out. I love this, that Jesus' present to us was his presence with us. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. We need to reach out. Jesus reached out to connect with us. The greatest gift that he's given us is his presence with us. He wants to connect with you this Christmas. Jesus wants to connect with you this Christmas. I love social media, in case you hadn't noticed. If you need to take a photo of me, this is my best side. No photos, great. I love Instagram and Facebook and all that. But in the last 10 years, social media has redefined the way that we connect with each other. It's kind of the art of connecting without actually speaking to anybody. It's kind of like I've got so many friends. I've got more friends now than I had 10 years ago. The problem is I don't talk to them. I hardly message them. And I kind of like maybe like something on them. And, you know, selfie is about to become an official word in the English dictionary. That's exciting, isn't it? But with all this connection, did you know the fastest growing phobia in America today, is speaking on the phone. We would rather let the phone ring out, go to answer phone, and then listen to the answer phone message, and then text them back if we want to talk to them or when we want to arrange them. We're so afraid of the stuff that we can't control. The BBC in October, just gone 2013, in Faith Week, they did a sort of research project into loneliness, and they found that 1 in 5 people say they're lonelier today than they were 10 years ago. Yet with all this connection, we're surrounded, but we feel lonelier. But do you know what's at the top of God's Christmas list? You are. You're at the top of God's creation. God wrote Chrysalis, things that he wanted this Christmas. It would be you, to connect with you. It's the one thing that he wants to do this Christmas. Above anything else, above anything you could cook and eat or presents, he just wants to connect with you. Relationship with you is what he's looking forward to this Christmas. Here's the thing, right? A song is better sung in harmony. A song is better sung in harmony. It's great when I sing. It's great when I sing. Maybe not. But it's even better when you have Josephine and Beth and Jono and the guys, and Steve Barry's got a great voice. He sometimes harmonizes on the drums. But it's great when there's a bunch of you singing together. The thing about connection is there has to be two. There has to be a minimum of two to have connection. I remember just a little bit of City Heart stuff. Like the first time I met, actually came face to face with somebody who'd been trafficked. So those who don't know, I manage City Hearts in the Northwest. We look after male victims of human trafficking. We run a number of safe houses that do that. A number two. I remember the first time I sat face to face, and I was doing my training. I'd come from a finance background into this, and so I was being trained how to, you know, do an induction and go through a certain number of questions and things that you had to ask. And I was going through all this, and it was all new, and I was just sitting there, and the guy was there, and he was staring at the floor, and no eye contact, nothing. And I just remember thinking, there's no connection here. So I just kind of stopped the interview, the newbie, just stopped the interview, and I just reached across and I shook his hand again, and I just, as I held his hand, I said, look, we believe in you. You know, the past is gone, you're free now, you're safe now. And as I began to speak these kind of words into him, his head lifted up and he made eye contact with me, and there was just that glimmer of this. I've not heard these words before. And there was a connection that happened there that restored hope. And restored hope in him. You know, this Christmas, God wants us to reach out. Maybe there's somebody you need to connect with this Christmas. Maybe there's somebody right now is in your mind that you're thinking, I need to ring them up. I need to have a phone conversation. You know, I need to go see that person. I need to reconnect with that family member. But don't forget this Christmas, that the most important thing God wants is to connect with you. He wants to connect with you. That's why he came as a baby. Dramatic pause. The final thing we can do to sing a new song is look forward. We need to look forward. So we need to let go, reach out, and look forward. God's song over you is his hope in you. God's song over you is his hope in you. This is the crescendo of this hymn. This song, the oldest song in the New Testament, the crescendo is, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to give you a great future and a hope. You know, the Psalms talk about God and his gentleness stoops down to pick us up. He stoops down to pick us up. I remember one guy that we've supported in City Hearts, and he was trafficked, or he was sold 5 times before he came to us. He was in an orphanage, and then the orphanage sold him to a family that used him as a domestic slave. He was then sold to a gang who then trafficked him across Europe, and then he was sold to a small business in the UK. And when he came to us, he'd been inside for 10 years. So he'd not been outside for 10 years. And his words to me when I first connected with him were, I felt like I was part of a machine. I didn't feel like a human being. When he came to us, he didn't know his name. He didn't know his name. He didn't know his age. He kind of guessed his age. He didn't know what his date of birth was. So there's no birthdays. No identity at all. And I remember taking him through this process and the stuff that we do, connecting him with legal advice and all this kind of thing. We tried to find out where he was from and see if we could connect him back in. But there was no country on the earth that would recognize him as an individual, as a human being. There was nowhere he could return to, nowhere he could call home. And through this process, I remember this amazing day where we went to our solicitors and I sat there with him. And our solicitor took this piece of paper out from the drawer and put it on the table and sort of slid it across the table and said, if you sign that, you're free. If you sign that, you can stay in the UK and you'll have an official identity here and we'll recognize you. And I just remember him taking that paper and signing it. And then we walked out of there and he looked at me and he said, so that's it then? No more looking back. No more looking back. I said, no, it's only forwards now. It's only forwards. You know, and it's an amazing thing to tell someone, forwards is the way you're going. This Christmas, we need to not look back at 2013, however good or bad it's been. We need to take that and we need to look forward. You know, the message of this song is that there is a therefore that takes you forward, you know, because of that, therefore this. You know, I think there's some of us here in this room, and I'm the same, that you can look back on 2013, you can go, well, that happened and that happened, therefore my 2014 is going to be like this. And you really judge your 2014 based on what's happened in 2013. You think, well, therefore that's not going to work and that's not going to happen. And, well, I thought that, but because of that now in 2014, therefore that's not going to happen. But the message of this song and the message of the Bible is that we can take God's therefore and slot it into our life, because through faith we can take his victory. And we can take his therefore and we can go, well, doesn't matter what happened, because I've got God's therefore, and therefore we are lifted up. Therefore we are elevated. Therefore our home is in heaven. There's going to be excited about this. I love this, that it doesn't matter. You know, 10 years ago, something may have happened that's defining you now, and you think that's going to happen in 2014. Well, let me say, God wants to put a therefore in the middle of your 2013 and say, well, therefore you can be elevated and you can be lifted up. That's God's plan for you this Christmas. He wants a song that is rousing, that's loud, and that lifts you up. And we've got access to all of this, you know. Romans 8 verse 31 is my life verse. And it says, therefore, what can I say? If God is for me, who can be against me? That's the therefore that God has for you this Christmas. Therefore, if God is for you, no matter what your circumstance and situation, who can be against you? Romans also said, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You know, we have taken God's therefore out of this song and put it into our lives. And that's the wonder and the mystery of grace and the wonder and mystery of what God wants to do for you this Christmas. And if, I mean, that makes me feel like I want to sing, because I know what my 2013 was like. And it's been amazing. But it's been a journey of humility. Thanks, Vicky. And it's been it's been a journey of learning to come underneath authority. It's been a journey of learning to make good choices and change some stuff about me. But the amazing thing is that we can sing in 2014. I'll finish with this little story as the Spirit of the Lord descends with the keys. My dad's dad fought in the First World War. And every Christmas, my dad's a Baptist minister, retired now, but every Christmas, he used to tell, in his Christmas, he used to tell this story without fail. And it's an amazing story, and you've probably heard it before because it's famous. But on Christmas Day, there was an armistice, no fighting on Christmas Day. So it was dead quiet, and you've got the two trenches lined up, and no man's land in the middle. We've all seen films that we can picture this. And then suddenly somebody starts to sing a carol in one of the trenches. Just a lone man starts to sing a carol. And then other people start to pick up that song and pick up that carol. And then the other side are like, wow, okay. So then they start singing the same carol as well. Same carol, same tune, different language. And suddenly on Christmas Day, there's this song coming from this terrible, terrible situation. And I believe that, you know, God, this Christmas, that's what hope does. That's what this song does. You know, a carol, a song about Jesus, uniting in the midst of circumstance and situation, which would say there's no unity here whatsoever. That this song in the midst of death brings hope and life and says there's something more we can look forward to. There's something beyond what we see now. Colossians 1 verse 27 says this, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not you in you, the hope of glory. It's not you in you, you have to work it all out because you're the only one that can make your future happen. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants you to look forward with hope as he rewrites the therefore in your world. Let's pray. Just going to pick out a couple of things from that. Now, there are some people here who feel that Christmas is a bit like a stuck record. I reckon, you know, you just think same old, same old, same old, buying the same stuff, giving it to the same people, same, it's just same. It's all just repeating with little meaning. God's promise for you today is that he comes to give life and life in all its fullness. So if you feel like Christmas is a bit of a stuck record, God has a new song for you this Christmas. He wants to redefine your Christmas. There are people here who face uncertainty in the new year, maybe in your business, maybe in your education, maybe in your family life. There's some uncertainty about what's going to happen in the new year. But God is your great provider. God is your great provider. And with Christ in you, there is hope. And finally, there are people here that maybe you've had a connection with Jesus, but it's got a bit boring and you know, you're not quite sure how to do that relationship thing anymore. Or maybe you've never had a genuine connection with Jesus Christ. The only thing he wants this Christmas is to connect with you. And God's promise is that whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life. You'll look forward and forward and forward and forward forever and ever. You will have an eternal connection with Jesus. This Christmas, hear this, you're still number one on God's priority list. You are still number one on God's priority list. So if you feel like Christmas is maybe, it's just same old, same old. Or if you feel like, I don't know what's happening in 2014. Or maybe you just want to reconnect with God or connect with him for the first time. Nobody's looking around. Why don't you just pop your hand in the air just so I know that I'm praying for somebody. If that's for you, that you want me to pray for you, that there'd be something new for you this Christmas, that there'd be hope in your 2014, and you can reconnect with God. Father God, we thank you for Christmas. Christmas is amazing. We thank you for a season, a whole season, that we get to celebrate and enjoy your birth, God. And Lord, we pray this Christmas that you would help us to let go, God, and not to cling to things, but to let go. God, we pray this Christmas you'd teach us to reach out and connect, God. Connect with you and connect with those around us. And God, we just thank you that because of you, we have hope to look forward in 2014, that you are redefining our days in 2014, God, not based on our past, but based on your victory, Father God. God, we thank you and we pray for an awesome Christmas with loads of Christmas presents and mince pies and turkey and stuffing and pudding and everything else. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.